that amen. I told you I was going to preach in my prayer. You shouldn't be surprised. Amen. Come on. How many know it's okay to be loud in church? It's okay to laugh. It's okay to cry. It's okay to rejoice. Amen. And just be thankful for every God, everything God's got for you. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I'm sorry, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm really not. I guess that was just something to kind of. Yeah, while I'm drinking my drink, just thinking about what I'm going to be talking about. It's just fantastic. All right, so we're starting a new series today. Oh, yeah. Okay? And the title of this series is called Living on Fire for God. Living on fire for God. How many has ever been around a bonfire? Did you ever, you know, I don't know what it is about youth, but man, youth love bonfires. It's like, it's burning, let's go watch it. You know, a building's burning and people want to gather around and watch it burn. There's something about fire that people are drawn to. Mm. I said there's something about fire that people are drawn to. Amen. Right? And God wants us to be on fire for him. Why? Because it will draw people to you. It will draw people to you. When people hear someone, they say something, and all they hear, it think that what was said is just oozing and gushing out and squirting out with faith. You know, you got a sponge that's just soaked in something, and then especially if you stomp it, whoosh. That's what God wants. When the devil come and tries to stomp you, faith shoots out of you. And it's like, you lying devil from hell. He's trying to make you sad and you're laughing in his face. And he don't even know what to do with that. Right? The Bible says that famine and destruction, God laughs. Not because he thinks it's funny, but because he knows he's greater than the famine and the destruction. He's like, devil, that's all you got? Even though God already knew that's all he had. Because God knows everything. We need to be like that. We need to quit saying, I don't know what to do. You need to start declaring, I always know what I need to know when I need to know it. Amen? Why? Because we got the one on the inside that does know everything. We're not at a loss. We are never at a loss. You should never utter those words out of your mouth. You should never, ever say, man, I'm just at a loss. I don't even know what to say. No, I know what to say. I begin to speak things in faith, and I begin to declare that God's going to do this, and God is doing that, amen, according to his word, amen, hallelujah. But I want to talk to you for the next few weeks on living on fire for God. So you got this bonfire, right? How many's ever been around a bonfire, and everybody starts leaving, you know, whatever, and it starts dwindling down, then it gets down to where it's just smoke and embers. And if you stay there long enough, the embers will actually die out. Then it'll be as if there was never a fire at all. And that is what happens in believers' lives. That is what happens and can happen to each and every one of us if we don't keep the fire fueled. You can't, and it's not just enough. Now, watch this. It's not just enough to, because we always talk about, well, you need to stoke the embers. Well, the embers that are being stoked have to have a fuel. You can stoke those embers, and it may kick up a little flame here and there, a little flame there. It's trying, but it has no fuel to fuel it. So eventually those, even though you're trying to stoke them, it's like they're still dying out, right, without fuel. So we've got to have fuel to the fire. We've got to add. Now, we're used to hearing that phrase, aren't we? Because, you know, when you're irritated and someone does something else to irritate you, you're fueling the fire, buddy. And we think of it in a negative sense. But what about the positive sense? What if we kept the fires of God fueled in us? So in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some different things that we can actually do to keep the fire burning. And not only burning, we're talking about making you an inferno for God. Thank you, Carson. I'm talking about being on fire for God. That is normal. Come on, watch me. That is normal Christianity. That is normal Christianity. And that should be where every believer is. Right? But if we want to be normal Christians, man, normal Christians are on fire for God. Now, I didn't say to look across town at other believers and wherever they're going to church or whatever they're doing, and I am not speaking against any church. That's not my point at all. There's people in this church that need to be stoked. Every church. I'm not talking about just across the street or over here or over there. You name the church, right? A lot of cool churches in town. Wonderful churches, wonderful ministers. But come on, it's not the minister's job. I cannot keep you fired up. I can try and provide fuel, but you can reject the fuel. And if you don't allow the fuel to get on your embers, as much as you want to be on fire for God, your embers are going to just continue to fade out. But I am on a mission that this church is going to stay on fire for God. Come on, I'm going to give you the tools. We're going to be on fire for God, and people are going to want to know what we've got. Come on, we're believing for people to come to Christ. We got to give them something to work with. You can't walk around like this, man. I'm a believer. Glory to God, I go to the different church. Won't you come with me? I can just imagine the crowd's like, oh, dude, I thought you would never ask. I want to be just like you. I think not. Come on. But it's not just about, you know, winning the lost for Christ. I mean, that's very important to me and to this church. But it's about the life that you're living for God. God wants you on fire. So how many, are you ready to get into this? I'm just going to introduce it today. I'm not even going to give you the fuels today. We'll start talking about the fuels next week. But I want to get you fired up on this, right? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is going to be, ooh-wee, glory to God. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, let me kind of set up the historical background of this scripture. So the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. 2 Timothy was letters written by Paul to Timothy. So here's a scenario. Timothy is pastoring the church of Ephesus, and it's a very big church. But the Roman governments and everything is highly suppressing the church. Does that sound kind of familiar? Right? Anyway, the Roman government is coming after the church. They're persecuting. There's all kinds of stuff going on. People are defecting from the church and defecting from God. Because of the pressure, right? Even Timothy's leaders in the church that he raised up and put in place are starting to defect from their leadership roles, right? Because of all the what the government's doing and all. And we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen churches close because of what this pandemic has done, right? We've seen what we thought were good, strong churches actually fold under the pressure of the government, and then they became just as woke as the rest of the world. We've seen it. Not here. Not this church. But we've seen it. Right? And so Timothy's under all this pressure. If you remember, you know, Paul told Timothy, you know, referring, he says, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Why? Because the dude was getting ulcers, man. He was stressed to the max. Right? In fact, well, let's just read this. I'm going to point something out to you. This is really good. He says, talking to Timothy, verse 6 starts, this is why. So let's back up. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, I remember your genuine faith, talking to Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy. He says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. Okay? This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. This is why I encourage you to fan into flames. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you what I don't see in this verse. I don't see this. This is why I remind you that I am going to fan into flames. See, it's like David, when David, came back and he took all of his men out to battle and they're conquering and all this. He comes back to Ziklag and all the Amalekites, while he was gone and all of him and his men were gone, they came in, took all their wives, their children, and all their stuff. And so David's like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Can you imagine the detrimental thoughts he was having about his own leadership? Anyway, and so he's like, oh my gosh. And the Bible says that the men that were with him were speaking, not thinking. They were actually, they'd already thought it, right? Now they were speaking of stoning him because what had happened. So he had nobody there to encourage him. So the Bible says that he withdrew a little bit and he got away and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Heather, have we ever been there? There's been times we've had to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So there are times in all of our lives that we find that we've got to, maybe such and such, this person or that person's not accessible or they're out of town or whatever. What am I going to do? Do you just wallow in it until pastors get back? To Brent becomes available? To Roger and Virgie are in town? No, we've got to learn that we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And Paul told him, this is why I remind you, for you, Timothy, to stir up the fire. Stir it up. Stir up that gift that was placed in you when I laid my hands on you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now this is kind of interesting. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift of God, the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Now let me read this next verse because everybody's heard this one. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of sound mind or self-discipline. Man, we hear that one preached a lot. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. But let me remind you the verse that comes before, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. So we're trying to encourage people not to be fearful, not to be afraid, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. But let's not forget the verse that goes with that, that was right before that. That you must, Paul says, so for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift. To stir up the fire in you, to stir up the flames in you for the gifts that the Lord gave you when I laid hands on you. Right? So there are things in us that we need to, we can't just focus on, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, if you would, let me tell you what makes that so hard, because you're trying to do it without stirring up the flames. You're trying to not have a spirit of fear, but you haven't stirred up the flames. Come on, you got to stir the flames up, and then you will find that, oh, wait a minute. Man, I'm stirring up the flames of God in me. Wait a minute, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I ain't got to be afraid. Why? Because you've taken time to stir it up. To stir up the flames of God on the inside of you. Amen, isn't that good? Glory to God. I was reading that last night, and the Lord showed me that. I'm like, holy smoking moly, that is so good. You know? So we got to take the time to stir it up. You know, there's another scripture that we're not going to look at today, but over in Romans it talks about how, a lot of people have quoted this. It talks about, it says, for we know that God works together for the good. You could almost finish it for me, right? For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But do you realize the setting that verse is in? The setting that verse is in is when he's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. But too many people are quoting it like, well, you know, God's just going to work it all together for your good. Don't. What have I told you about when you take a text out of its context, all you're left with is a con, right? So you got a lot of people that are just expecting God to turn everything together for their good, but they ain't spending no time praying in the Spirit. Come on. Praying in the Spirit is, other than salvation, is the greatest weapon God ever gave you. And man, I tell you what, he says praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up. There's that yourself again. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that pastor will build you up. No, that's not what it said. Praying in the Holy Ghost until sister or brother so-and-so comes along to encourage you. No, that's not what it said. It says praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Right? So we got to fan the flames. We got to fan the flames. We should be able to come in here every week excited. Oh, glory to God. What has God got for me today? Oh, man, I've been praying for Pastor, and I'm sure he's on fire today. Oh, glory to God. We're going to get a good word. Amen. Do you come in here expecting God to speak something amazing to you, or are we just going through the church motions? Come on, we're getting rid of the church motions, right? We're gonna start like God's gonna jack up your excitement level. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I'm not just talking. And this is good stuff. All right, watch this. So he says here, so for this reason, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So you got the flames, but you got to keep fueling it. You got to keep fueling it. We have a little fire pit out in our, it's nothing like a bonfire. You know, our neighbor would probably have a problem with that, being that they are the fire department. And they would probably say, hey, you need to tone down your fire and keep it in your fire pit. Right? We've got this little fire pit, but man, I like getting that thing going as much as you can with a little fire pit, man. I can get that blazing pretty good, you know, and that's exciting to me, you know. But then you sit there long enough, you're talking or whatever, and all of a sudden the fire begins to go down. But we got to keep it fueled. There's things that we have to do to keep the fire fueled. And we're going to be talking more about that next week. All right, now watch this. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm almost done. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 1, look at this verse. In verse 7, he says, regarding the angels, he says, well, let me just back up to verse 5. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, you are my son, today I become your father. God also said, I will be his father and he will be my son. Verse 6, and when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Okay, now verse 7. Regarding the angels, he says, he sends his angels like the wind. Isn't that exciting? I told you a while ago, man, there is angelic work happening for you. Come on, you need to believe it. It's in the book. You know you can believe it. It's right there in the book. It says he sends angels like wind, but watch this next part. His servants like flames of fire. Who are the servants? Well, that's the angels. No, he already talked about the angels. He's talking about his servants. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. And he's sending us like flames of fire. He didn't say, I'm sending them like a smoking ember that has no fuel and is about to die out. How many remember that, you know, the day you got born again and then maybe even the day you got filled with the Holy Spirit, man, you were jacked up on Holy Ghost Mountain Dew, man. You were just like, you were zipping, man. You were like so excited. But then life comes and we didn't keep fueling it. And then now it's... Maybe today you feel like you're that smoking ember. But I got good news for you. If you'll let us, we're gonna fuel those embers, and we're gonna stoke them, and we're gonna flip them all over, and we're just gonna get them fueled up, and you're gonna be burning for God. That's the goal, right? And that's what we're gonna accomplish. Amen. But he says he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. So God wants you jacked up. He wants you on fire for him so he can send you out and burn, because people will come and watch you burn. I remember when I was at Rhema, my second year, I went through the evangelist course. You know, I went through the, that was my, as you can tell, that's kind of like my passion. You're right. It was evangelism and stuff. And so it's like, but man, and they always said that. Come on. Come on. Come on, evangelist. You need to catch fire for God because people will come and watch you burn. Remember Doc Horton, man? He would be all like, oh, man. Glory to God. But we need to be on fire for God. We need to show people, hey, God is real and He is good and He is still a miracle worker. He is still a promise keeper. He is still a way maker. Heather had no idea I was preaching on this when she put that song last, which I greatly appreciate. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to come up after just a really soft song and it's like, you know, glory to God. Let's go, people. You know, but man, I love it when we end on like a more of a song. Boy, I come up all jacked up, as you can tell. All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll end on this verse, and then we'll really get into it next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now, I'm going to quote this in another translation, but I'll go ahead and read it the way it is here in the New Living for you, since most of you have that, I think. Verse 19, it says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Another translation, I think it's New King James, says, do not quench the Spirit of God. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Okay, now this is kind of interesting because the very fact that he tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit tells you that the Holy Spirit can be quenched. Now, don't get me wrong. The Holy Spirit is not hyperly sensitive and flighty. In other words, you do one little thing wrong, he's not going to go, that's it. I can't take it. I need a cry room. You know, that is not the Holy Spirit. It's pretty tough. He's pretty tough. But you can allow your flame to get down, and when you do that, it quenches what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you, right? So God, he has things that we need to be doing, and but we can't do it as a smoking ember. We've got to do it on fire for Him, on fire for Him. Amen. What does it mean to be on fire? That means you need to be enthusiastic about your faith, not sad. Not melancholy, right? On fire for Him. You're enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is contagious. Come on. When people see that you're, if people see that you're excited about your faith, they're going to start becoming excited about your faith. And then it's going to go from your faith to it's going to become their faith. And come on. So we got to be enthusiastic. We got to be excited about the things of God. Dad Hagin used to always tell people that served with me, he says, come on, boys, when you're excited about it, that's when the word works for you. Because you're living the word with anticipation. You're living the word with an expectation. We're not getting into this, well, I've been quoting the scriptures for 30 years and nothing's happened yet. Well, come on, maybe you need to get excited about the word. Because when you really believe in something, when you really believe in it, you're excited about it. Yeah, that's true. Come on. You guys hear me talk about my Alabama Crimson Tide every year. I believe in those guys. They may not win the championship every year, but they are right there. Right there in the mix. And when I talk about them, I'm not like, oh, I know they're pretty horrible. But I'm a fan. That is not even the definition of a fan. What is the word fan short for? Fanatic. But here's the deal. I am a fan for Alabama football. But you know what? I'm a bigger fan for Jesus. Amen. Come on. I am excited about what God wants to do in this earth. Yeah. Guys, we are on the cusp of being involved in the greatest revival this earth has ever seen. We are on the very cusp of the greatest awakening. The greatest, and we've read in history about the great spiritual awakenings that have happened in Scotland and America and different places and all this kind of stuff. But guys, we are on the cusp of the greatest spiritual awakening. This is going to be, I'm trying to think of another word. It's going to be astounding. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be absolutely fabulous. Glory to God. But God can't use if our embers are down here smoking and we're almost burned out. Come on, he needs us to be stirred up. He needs us to be stoked. And the way we do it is we praying in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Glory to God. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. No matter what they say or do to me, glory to God, I've been praying in the Holy Ghost today. I can love them through it all. I can love them through it all. No matter what happens, I can love. Right? No matter what happens, I can be respectful. No matter what Biden does, we can still love him. Let me say that again, because that felt like a... I don't even think that made it past the front row. I just... Like there's a force field right here. It's like, don't even be speaking any... Come on. I don't care who's in charge, rather it's fake or real. And we know the story behind it. Okay. No matter how he got that office, our job is to love him. I didn't say he had to like anything he does, because so far he hasn't given us anything to like. But I didn't say anything about liking what he does. I'm talking about the Bible says to love, right? Love those that hate you, right? Pray for those that despitefully use you, right? So our job is to love no matter who's in power. Our job is to love them. And my God, if there's ever been any president you need to pray for, it'd be him. So what are we waiting for? A Christian to get in there before we pray for him? Come on, the Christian don't need near as much prayer as the one that ain't living for God. So come on, we need to, you know, we need to be praying for our leaders, right? And so glory to God on that. So there's that. Anyways, okay, but let's look at this. But he says here, he says, quench not. The very fact that he says the Holy Spirit can be quenched indicates that that he can be quenched. Right? So let's look at what that word quench means real quick, and then I'll close. All right? So the word quench there, or in the New Living, what word did it use? Stifle. Okay. I think New King James. That's what I've read most of my life. So started with King James, and I went to New King James, and finally, a few years ago, got the New Living. But anyway, so let's look at this word quench, and I'm not going to get into the whole how you say the Greek word and all that and how it's broken up and all that. I'm just going to tell you what it means. All right. So the Greek word they use here for quench, this is what it actually means when it was written. It means to extinguish. It's still the same today. We don't think about it too much. So the word quench means to extinguish, to smother. Remember where we got this word, quench not the Spirit, quench not the Holy Spirit. All right, that word quench means to extinguish, to smother, to suppress. See, when you suppress someone, they're trying to do something, and you're suppressing them. You're holding them back. You're keeping them from doing what they really want to do. Suppress not the Holy Spirit. It means to douse. Ooh. We'll come back to that one. It means to put out. To snuff out. Or you could use it this way. To put out a fire by dousing it with water. Right? So instead of stoking the embers and fueling it, we pour water on it. And the Bible says, do not pour water on the Holy Spirit. Right? We're supposed to stir up the fire, not extinguish it, not to snuff it out, not to douse it, to suppress it, to smother it, to extinguish it, to snuff it. Watch this one. This is interesting. It can also mean to evaporate or to dry up. Do not evaporate the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Do not let it dry up. See, God wants us to stir it up, to stir it up, to stir it up. And all right, watch this. The fire for God in your heart must be fueled on a regular basis. You know, when you're sitting there at a fire and, you know, and it starts to go out and your party's not done, you're not done fellowshipping, you're not done hanging out, you're not ready for the fire to go out. What do, Chris? We throw another log on, don't we? We just put on another log. What are we doing? We're fueling it again. We're fueling it again. Throwing on pine, two by fours, whatever. We're ripping our house apart. No, I'm just kidding. You know, we're putting more fuel into the fire because we're not ready for it to go out. Well, we need to never be ready for the fire of the Holy Spirit to go out in our lives. We need to be living on fire for God. Glory to God. And that's what we're doing here, man. Praise God. We are going to be the friendliest, most loving, most exciting church in town. That's my goal. Now I'm not saying that in a competitive form because I ain't ever over there to know what they're doing. Why? Because I ain't focused on them. Hey, praise God. Whatever they're doing, man. Praise God for them. They got a pastor. I'm not him or her, right? I'm the pastor here. And what I'm focused on is that we're on fire for God. So it's not about competing. I'm not going, we're not quite as exciting as them, so we got to do some things. I don't even know what they're doing. I don't go over there. I'm not looking at other churches. I'm looking at this church and saying, glory to God, we're going to be a church on fire for God. Amen. Why? Why am I teaching this? Because the Bible tells me to teach it. It's like I told you a couple of weeks ago. That's why we teach everything, because the Bible says, hey, teach this. And Paul is teaching Timothy this. He says, Timothy, listen, I know the faith, the genuine faith you had. You got it from your grandmother and your mother, and that's fantastic. Come on, and because you've got that faith, and I know it's a strong faith, but come on, man, you got to stir it up, man. You got to keep it stoked. You got to keep it fueled. So we've got to continually be fueling the fire. And I'm going to tell you this. When I say regular and continual fuel, I'm not talking about every Sunday morning. Well, I regularly come to service every Sunday. Man, listen. Man, I'm just telling you from historical experiences. If you're trying to live an on-fire life for God and you're only going off of the fuel you get only on Sunday morning, you are dry wood. You're not dry wood. You're wet wood. You're not even burning, man. No. You cannot live off of just what you have on a Sunday morning experience. And we can tell. Because we can tell who is depending on Sunday morning because of the way they show up on Sunday morning. Say, hey, PK, I love you, man. Nobody. I didn't get a single I love you, PK. That's awesome. Come on, I know this is kind of, I know I'm challenging you, but it's challenging you for the good. Come on, God wants us to be on fire for God. He wants us to be on fire for Him. He sends us out as servants of flames of fire. Glory to God. So this is going to be good. This is going to be a great series, and I'm excited about it. All right, so here's the question. Are you just an ember? The good news is if you feel like you are just an ember, or maybe you're not an ember, but maybe your fires have just gone down a little bit. Right? Come on, we can refuel them. We can refuel them, we can stoke them, and we can get that fuel in there. And before you know it, you're going to be, oh, glory to God, on fire for God. And God's going to go, oh, look at that. Look at them, man. They're burning for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So next week, we'll start talking about the different fuels that will help you to fuel that and to be on fire for God. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Give me it. No, I'm just kidding. All right, stand up on your feet.